Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Tuesday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on X at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you for being here. What just happened? I am recording this at 2:24 in the morning, Lambo time, because I had to go through everything that just happened and try to write down and put into words and take notes as to everything that there is to go over on a day that saw just about everything. Heartbreaking losses, Aaron Jones, no longer a member of the Green Bay Packers. Extremely exciting free agent signings, including Xavier McKinney, the brand new, newest, shiny free agent signing that will really be one of the key pieces in this new Jeff Hafley defense. Players that signed with new teams, a player that re-signed with Green Bay, some buzz, some news, some rumors, a ton of free agent signings throughout the NFL. Where to start? We are going to go over all of it and everything that we can possibly go over. As you can imagine, I have a lot to say and I want to get to all of it. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, I apologize in advance. I'm probably going to be looking over my notes a little bit more because there is a ton to discuss and I don't want to miss any of it. Before we get there, a huge shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Will Belke, Jason Spitz, who I can only hope is the former Packers offensive lineman. Probably not, but either way, welcome Jason. Ryan Wiley, TJ Schmecht, Frosty Blue Moon, James Jaworski, and Terry Bachop. Thank you so much for becoming members. Really, really appreciate it. But I want to just start by saying this is probably the craziest day that I can remember from an overall transaction standpoint. Now, Brett Favre trade day, huge day, bizarro day. That one goes down in history. You have the Devontae Adams trade. You've got the Aaron Rodgers trade. All of those have happened. You've got the Za'Darius Smith, Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, Billy Turner, like 24-hour crazy chaotic signing free agency spree. That was crazy. This to me, though, at least, and maybe it's just recency bias, but the way that I'm feeling right now, I'm not sure I can put into words exactly how I'm feeling. And I don't think I've ever felt anything like this before, where you just have this wide range of emotions. When Favre was traded away, there was a timeline that led up to that, and you could sort of see it coming. When Aaron was traded away, clearly a timeline that led up to that, and you could see it coming. Devontae was a shock to the system, but it wasn't quite as like unexpected. You knew that he was, you know, that the Green Bay could potentially move on in that offseason. Still a surprise, still a bit of a shock. But then you also had like the realization that Green Bay was getting in some premium draft picks in return, and you got some free agent money then to spend. Like, there was a balancing act with that as well. But nothing quite like this, where you have a somewhat expected departure in David Bakhtiari. There was still some question if maybe they could work something out. But as we've talked about all along, the obvious expectation was that he was going to be released, but it happened. And there's still a little bit of a, you know, just gut-wrenching feel that that never worked out. And we'll talk about all of that. And then, of course, the Aaron Jones situation, which I'll just flat out say it. I was 1,000,000% wrong. I did not expect this to happen. I said I would be shocked if Aaron Jones was not a member of the team. Very much thought that Green Bay wanted him. Very much thought that he wanted to be a member of the Packers. They just could not come to terms on a new deal. And for me, that was one of the bigger gut punches in my Packers fandom, because I don't think I ever let my mind really go to the spot where Aaron Jones would not be a member of the team. So that was a huge gut punch and just a huge shock and blow to the system that I personally just did not see coming. And then you have this incredible free agent signing in Xavier McKinney, who is a home run free agent pickup, and somebody that should immediately be one of the key cogs in Jeff Hafley's new defense. And how are you not possibly excited about that? Meanwhile, you've got Josh Jacobs, and for a little bit there, you were looking like it was maybe going to be Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones in this incredible tag team before Jones ultimately gets released. It's just a crazy range of emotions. Tyler Davis is back in Green Bay. I'm sure that's what everyone's concerned about right now. Darnell Savage is gone. John Runyon Jr. is gone. That is a ton to happen. It all happened in about a 5-hour period on Monday. And like I said, just this roller coaster, this whirlwind, whatever you want to call it. And for me, that was one of the widest ranges of emotions and swings that I have ever experienced on a single day as a Packer fan. And certainly as somebody who obviously analyzes this day in and day out, we have done this now for over 5 years, for over, what has it been? You know, 2050 days straight. And this is one of the most chaotic days, if not the single most chaotic day that we've ever had. So let's jump into it full steam ahead. And I really want to start here with Aaron Jones. And I just want to be a fan for a second. Take the analyst cap off, take everything else away. Just period. I'm going to miss Aaron Jones. I am going to legitimately, seriously miss Aaron Jones. I'm bummed. I'm bummed that he's not going to be a member of the Green Bay Packers. Like I said, I just never even remotely put myself in the mindset that that could happen. That's never happened to me before that I can ever think of that I didn't at least, you guys know me enough. I nerd out about every episode enough that I go through pretty much every permutation of what could happen, what should happen, what I would do, what I think the Packers will do, what they should, like all of it, right? I full Doctor Strange just about everything. There was not a, you know, Tony Stark one scenario or a Doctor Strange one scenario where I put myself in the mindset of, what if Aaron Jones isn't a member of the Green Bay Packers? Even when we started to get the reports from Tom Silverstein that, you know, there was some, you know, disagreement on where that contract should come in, still never put myself, that those are usual conversations that take place, and never put my mind that that could legitimately be something that happened. And when you have this, you know, one of the all-time favorite, you know, fan favorite Green Bay Packers who was the consummate professional, locker room dude, you know, Walter Payton nominee multiple times, just everything, you know, game winning plays, constantly making the flashiest, most fun runs that you can, you know, remember and imagine, like all of it. And to go from that and really the run that he had at the end of 2023 to really show and prove that he still had everything in the tank when he was healthy and looked dominant still at his age, never again expected that they would go from that to just completely releasing Aaron Jones altogether. Once the Jacobs signing was announced, that certainly changed the calculus. And that was the first time it put a little bit of doubt in my mind. Even then, I was leaning towards, I think something's still probably going to get done. But then very soon thereafter, we get word that Aaron Jones is going to be released. Not a June 1st release, by the way. They did it right now. That actually makes sense in this scenario. Not to nerd out too much on this, but the June 1st signing or release made sense for Devondre Campbell because at some point you're going to have that slush fund for next year. And just releasing Devondre June 1st, you basically know we can spend everything else now because we have $8 million coming on June 1st that we can use towards the season. You don't really need more than that. And it probably just made a little bit more sense to release Jones now. And remember, when you do a June 1st release, you don't get that money until June 1st. So you get a little bit of money now by releasing Jones. And if you need more money to spend in free agency, that's where you probably start looking at restructures, maybe looking at something with Kenny Clark. But that part made sense to me. But it was still such a shock to the system how it all went down and it all happened so insanely fast. We talked about free agent running backs. I talked about Josh Jacobs. He was on my list when we did our running back episode. But it was more as a thought of, could this somehow be a tandem with Aaron Jones? It wasn't bring Josh Jacobs in as a priority free agent signing on day one of free agency and then immediately jettison Aaron Jones. That, to me, still came out of left field and was such a interesting, if nothing else, pill to swallow immediately at the start of free agency. And for those of you who are potentially holding out hope that Aaron Jones could still be a Packer in 2024, I wouldn't hold out hope. And I was wrong recently about Jones, playing elsewhere and not being in Green Bay. But when Aaron Jones says goodbye to Green Bay, and when the Packers do their full press releases of how this was the hardest decision that they've had to make, this felt like a pretty firm divorce at this point. And never say never. We saw Amon Green move on to Houston. And it wasn't, I don't think that was a release. I'd have to go back and look at that. I think he may have just become a free agent, but either way, he moves to Houston, plays there a couple seasons, and ends up back in Green Bay for one last stint wearing number 34, bizarro stint. But either way, he ends up with a cup of coffee back in Green Bay. Never know in this business. You never know if Aaron Jones could end up back in Green Bay at some point in time. Maybe he signs with some team, if it's not Minnesota, more on that in just a moment. Maybe he signs with Houston, and Houston has some injury issues, and they're not in the playoff picture by the trade deadline, and they're trending in the wrong way. And Green Bay has some injuries at running back. Maybe Jacobs gets hurt, and Green Bay goes to Houston at the trade deadline and says, hey, we would love Aaron Jones back, and maybe they can work something. Who knows? Crazier things have happened. But as of right now, if you're holding out hope that they're just going to sign him back after he hits the market, it does not look like that is going to happen in any way, shape, or form. Let's talk about that pay cut, because one of the things I was wrong about was, you know, Aaron Jones being on the team this year. But one of the things I was right about is that if you are going to go to a player and say, hey, we want you to take a pay cut, if the agent and the player say, no, we're not doing that, you have to be willing to move on and actually release the player. As I said previously, if the agents start to get wind that Green Bay just backs down and says, haha, just kidding, we're going to just keep you on your current contract, then every time you go to players and say, hey, we need a cap hit or a pay cut from you, they're just not going to do it, because they're going to say Green Bay just always backs down anyway. So you almost kind of have to have that in your arsenal of, if you go to a player, say, we're going to need a pay cut or else, and then they say no, it has to be the or else. You kind of have to move on. And Green Bay was clearly ready to do so per the reporting per Matt Schneidman. It sounds like they were still far apart. They gave Aaron Jones a final offer. They said no. They rescinded that final offer, went in a different direction, clearly went and got Josh Jacobs as a priority on day one, and then made that ultimate release of Aaron Jones. Now, the report, again, per The Athletic and Matt Schneidman, is that Green Bay wanted Aaron Jones to take a 50% pay cut. Now, this is tricky. Is it 50% of his overall salary? Was it 50% of his base salary? Was it 50% of what he was supposed to make, if they didn't release him? Those are all very different numbers, and that reporting was not made. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. What matters here is Green Bay valued Aaron Jones at a very specific number, and they were willing to take him back at that number, and Aaron Jones valued it at a totally different number, and understandably so. From Aaron Jones's point of view, and I'm sure from some fans' point of view, this is a crappy thing to do. Aaron Jones has been the consummate professional, has bled green and gold, has given everything he can to carry the G and be a member of this organization and support it the right way and do all the right things. He comes back at the end of the season, is the huge reason why I think they made that push towards the playoffs, and of course, helping to beat Dallas and then being in that game against San Francisco. Looks phenomenal at the end of the season, and then you ask him to take a pay cut again after he took a pay cut the previous season. If you're Aaron Jones and everything you gave to the team and everything that he did at the end of last year, you're probably pretty upset by that and probably do not want to take that pay cut, and understandably so. If you're the Packers, you are in business mode. And while people will be very upset with Brian Gutekunst and with the Packers organization, and they don't have loyalty, and they just get rid of these players on the dime, and they don't care how it's going to affect the fans, and they don't care how it's going to affect anything and the player and everything like that, that's business. That's the NFL. You know, just about every single legend in the history, there's very precious few in the history of the Packers, especially in modern times, that have not had to go somewhere else, that have not been jettisoned at some point. And it sucks, but that is the modern NFL. And how Goody and the Packers are looking at it is, this is a running back that's about to reach that very non-fond age of 30. And with that, a lot of times comes decline. With that, a lot of times becomes a player who is more often to get injured. And we saw it last year. As great as Aaron Jones was still when he was healthy, he was not healthy for a good chunk of that season. And even in that middle portion where he was trying to come back and play, he was not himself. It was really just week one up until he hurt his hamstring in week one. And then really towards the end of the year that we actually saw Aaron Jones be more Aaron Jones. And that is likely to happen more often than not. What Brian Gutekunst's job is not to pay a player based on previous performance. It's never about that. NBA gets that wrong a decent amount of times. What Brian Gutekunst's job is to anticipate future performance and pay a player on what they will do moving forward. Brian Gutekunst is making a calculated gamble based on previous running back history that a running back that is about to turn 30 is going to break down quicker, not be able to survive the vigors of the NFL, not be able to handle a full load. And really, Jones has never really done that in the NFL, but it's probably only going to continue to get worse and probably see a significant decline in his legs, his run after catch ability, his run after contact ability over the course of the next year or 2 years or 3 years, whatever that might be. Brian Gutekunst is making that assumption based on the history of the running back position. And by the way, when these running backs do hit that decline, what we see, Sean Alexander is always like the biggest, most glaring one where he was like an MVP and then he was just toast. When they hit that wall, Ezekiel Elliott's another great example of somebody who, you know, hits that wall and then they just were never quite the same player. When that wall gets hit, that decline can be very fast. And he is, again, assuming that at some point that is likely going to happen in the near future to Aaron Jones. And instead, he's looking to get a younger running back who is less likely to see that same decline. It is a risk. There's no two ways about it. This is going to be something that is going to be a huge defining moment for this upcoming season and for Brian Gutekunst specifically at the running back position on offense and how the locker room handles this changeover. Aaron Jones, the guy in that locker room, the Packers legitimately said, like, heartbeat of the team, the heart and soul of the team on numerous occasions. You just took the heartbeat and heart and soul of the team and said, see you later. That is something that can affect a young locker room in a major way. Now, these are professionals. They will bounce back. They will get through it. Other leaders will step up. Jordan Love seems ready to take on more and more of that leadership mantle. And there are others in that locker room that can do that as well. But this is a loss. So this is all involved in this overall decision by Brian Gutekunst. A couple things I will say, though, on that. From a GM standpoint, I want a NFL general manager who is willing and able to make the unpopular decisions. As you heard me from the onset, I am bummed about this. I wanted Aaron Jones on the 2024 Green Bay Packers. I think he deserved to be a member of the 2024 Green Bay Packers. But I respect the hell out of the, you know, decision, and I respect the hell out of Brian Gutekunst's ability to compartmentalize what he probably would like to see is Aaron Jones retire as a Packer and everything like that, knowing that there will literally be people that just like hate him for this, that will not forgive Brian Gutekunst, just like people did not forgive him for moving on from Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb, Aaron Rodgers. There will be people that will not forgive Brian Gutekunst for handling this situation the way that he did. The easy decision here is to just keep Aaron Jones on the roster. And it might be the right decision to just keep Aaron Jones on the roster, or it might be the right decision to move in a different direction and go with Josh Jacobs. That only time will tell. But whether or not you think it's the right decision or the wrong decision, I wholeheartedly respect the hell out of somebody who's willing to make the unpopular decision because he thinks it's the right decision to make for the future of the team. And I will always respect that. Respected the hell out of Ted Thompson for doing it with Favre and moving to Rodgers. Respected it with Goody from moving off of Rodgers and going to Jordan Love. And I still, even though, again, this is a tougher pill to swallow for me personally, I still respect the decision to make an unpopular pick and go with a player that's going to be younger and maybe, hopefully, more durable moving forward than what potentially Aaron Jones could be. It's so crazy to think that we're over a month removed from actual football, and it's already the start of free agency. But despite the end of football, the action on the floor is just beginning to heat up. It's tournament season, the NBA's in its final push towards the playoffs, and there is no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. So that means it's time to get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Right now, you can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks. There are so many reasons why Prize Picks is my favorite fantasy app, but my absolute favorite aspect is the fact that I can log in, easily make my selections, and submit my entry within 60 seconds. Prize Picks completely changed my football season and my overall enjoyment of the game. Now, it's NCAA tournament time, and I sincerely cannot wait to combine two of my favorite activities, March Madness and Prize Picks. This week, I'm already keeping an eye out for Damian Lillard three-point makes, Nikola Jokic rebounds, and let's just say I plan on making a ton of Caitlin Clark picks over the next couple weeks. The best part is that right now you can download the app and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. So download that app right now and use code PACKADAY for that first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Now, the unfortunate news here is that the Vikings have shown already significant interest in Aaron Jones. And a couple things here. One, they need it, right? They've cut Alexander Mattison. They've got Ty Chandler, Kenny Nwangwu, Miles Gaskin, and Dwayne McBride as their running backs right now. They were in on the Tony Pollard sweepstakes. So you can understand that this is probably a team that's very, very interested in Aaron Jones. I don't necessarily think that it fits their timeline at all. They just signed Sam Darnold. More on that in a moment. I don't know how this fits in. Doesn't feel like Minnesota's ready to compete anytime soon, but they need a running back. And unfortunately, it seems like in every situation where a legend is released from Green Bay, they must find their way to Chicago or Detroit or Minnesota, usually more often than not. And that would be a stab to the heart. But what I'll say in regards to this is I saw some people immediately post online that would completely diminish their thoughts of Aaron Jones and he would be a traitor, everything like that. Personally, if you don't want Aaron Jones to be a member of your division rival, well, then you better keep him on your team. And the Packers decided that they did not want him on their team anymore. And they know that the Vikings are in need of a running back and that legitimately could happen. And while it would be like I said, a stab to the heart, a punch to the gut, a kick to the groin, whatever else you want to define it as, to me, that is not on Aaron Jones. It is his job for his family and his well-being and from his agent side of things to go out and get the best deal possible. And if that's the Minnesota Vikings, to me, that is not Aaron Jones' fault. That is the Green Bay Packers' fault. If they didn't want that to happen, then they had to keep him in-house. And now it seems like it's a legitimate opportunity that Aaron Jones may end up a member of the Minnesota Vikings and just the ultimate, ultimate gut punch of the entire end of this Aaron Jones saga, which happened so insanely fast. And we went from, yep, Aaron Jones is going to be back to, oh my goodness, he very well could be a member of the Minnesota Vikings. Next, I want to talk about here, sticking with Aaron Jones, is while these decisions as fans are brutal and they're terrible, what I will say is that far more often than not, when the Packers have made these decisions to move on from fan favorite players and go in a different direction, they have been right far more often than not. Brett Favre, right move. Aaron Rodgers, right move. Jordy Nelson, right move to release, wrong move to spend that money on Jimmy Graham. But right move, he was not the same after that at all with the Raiders. Just was not the same. And also, it was time to make Devontae Adams the number one. And I don't think if Jordy stayed, I watched that year before. We don't need to go into this too much, but Rodgers kept looking Jordy's way when Devontae was consistently getting open. And I think they knew that, and they knew that they needed to get almost Jordy off the team just so that Devontae could take that next progression up. Randall Cobb, when they moved on, right move. Amon Green, right move. Marco Rivera, right move. Corey Linsley, right move. Brian Bulaga, right move. We can go on and on. There have been some hiccups. I saw people point out like Micah Hyde or Casey Hayward. Those were not like huge fan favorites at the time. They were players that people liked, no question, but those are just brutal mistakes by Green Bay, but not to the legendary status where they spent, 7-8 years as, amazing Packers. They were up and coming Packers that the Packers moved on from too soon and just made a mistake there, but not in the same category, in my opinion. Charles Woodson definitely would argue that they moved on too soon. That release came too quick. But he was also at that age. It was at a point where I could understand it. I saw people say Rasul Douglas, first of all, not a longtime fan favorite. Second of all, I at least could understand the vision for getting a third round pick at a time where the Packers were not competing. Overall, point being here is when they have moved on from players, Greg Jennings, we can go on and on. It is more often than not been the right decision. Whether or not that is the case with Aaron Jones is going to have to remain to be seen, but they deserve at least some benefit of the doubt that, hey, maybe they're getting this one right as well. And I can understand the vision of the move with Aaron Jones. They're getting younger. They're getting somebody that in theory is going to be more durable. And they're betting on the upside. They are betting that 26, 27, 28-year-old Josh Jacobs, who was arguably the best running back in football in 2022, is going to be better over the course of the next few seasons than 29/30, 31, and 32-year-old Aaron Jones in those same seasons, who's just coming off the most injured season of his career. So like the move, hate the move, I respect what they're trying to do, and I can understand the vision, and I can understand that as good as Aaron Jones has been, the highest peak of Josh Jacobs in 2022 was a higher upside and peak than Aaron Jones ever reached. The average Aaron Jones season is better than the average Josh Jacobs season, in my opinion. The worst Aaron Jones season, when he played actually, is better than the worst Josh Jacobs season, in my opinion. But the high-end upside is there. And when he is on his game like he was in 22, he is a freak and a massive difference maker. And if you get that 2022 version of Josh Jacobs, this easily works out. I want to bring up the locker room one more time. We obviously have to move on to some of these other decisions, but the Jones one is just such a major, major move. I go back to last year. Dontavian Wicks has that play. I forget if it was a drop or what it was, but Wicks is off the field. His head's hanging down, and Jones walks out on the field and lifts his head up. That is like one of the ultimate Aaron Jones moments, and that is what you get by having him on the team. Erasing that from the team will have an impact. It will have consequences, whether that's significant, insignificant. Maybe it matters a lot. Maybe it doesn't matter at all. I don't know, but there will be, you know, there's a cost there. I'll put it that way. There's a cost to losing that from your locker room. Also, a couple other things really quick. We talk about the durability and the wear and tear. Aaron Jones has played 7 seasons. Josh Jacobs has played 5. Aaron Jones' regular season carries 1,177. Josh Jacobs, 1,305. He has more carries in the regular season in 5 seasons than Aaron Jones has in 7. So Josh Jacobs does have some of that wear and tear as well. Also, if we want to talk durability, since 2019, when Josh Jacobs came in the league, Josh Jacobs has missed 10 games. Aaron Jones has missed 10 games. Jacobs now, you know, that's spread out a little bit more, but 4 of those were in 2023. Aaron Jones, 6 of those were in 2023. So it hasn't been this massive difference of durability and wear and tear and things like that, but you're expecting with Jones getting to the age that he is, that it's probably going to become a bigger issue. But it was just interesting to kind of look at those and see how they differentiated. By the way, if Aaron Jones is done in Green Bay forever and he never does find his way back, his final run in the regular season, it was about like a 12-yard run, kind of nondescript, but a very classic Aaron Jones run where he bounces it outside, makes somebody miss, picks up a first down. It was a classic Aaron Jones run, and it sealed the game. It got them to the 2-minute warning where they could kneel down the rest of the game, beating the Chicago Bears and clinching a playoff berth for the Green Bay Packers. So kind of a cool final run there in the regular season for Aaron Jones. My overall thoughts on Jones: I'm bummed. I'm nervous. I'm disappointed that they couldn't work something out. I just really wanted to see him remain a member of the Green Bay Packers, especially this upcoming season. I think the locker room is going to be interesting in how that impacts with losing Jones. I understand the business decision of this. And I think even if you're very frustrated or pissed off at the move, I think you have to at least look at it from a business side and say, I can understand it in some capacity. I really, 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 really do not want him to become a member of the Minnesota Vikings. And I'll say this. I think there is a legitimate coin flip chance of how this turns out. Meaning, I think there's a world in which Aaron Jones just goes out and is the better running back, specifically in 2024, than Josh Jacobs. I think there's a real chance that Josh Jacobs over the next couple seasons is just legitimately the better running back than Aaron Jones is. If I were betting, I would probably put my money that over the course of the next couple seasons, Josh Jacobs probably outperforms Aaron Jones moving forward. That doesn't make it easier for me. I still think this is, like I said, a tough pill to swallow, a kick to the groin, whatever you want to call it, but I can understand the vision behind it, and that's all I ever ask for. I'm not going to love every move that the Packers make. I'm not going to hate every move that the Packers make, but I'll give you a perfect example. The Chicago Bears, Kevin Byard and DeAndre Swift with that team, with all the money that they have, it's a safety and a running back, the same positions that Green Bay signed today. Green Bay is in a different position than Chicago. They got the better players and like they had less money to spend. I don't understand the vision there to get a 30 plus safety in Chicago and a running back who, when they already have a couple running backs on the market, it's a non-premium position for them. It's not going to put them over. Their moves have no vision. And would, if I were a Bears fan, I would be ticked off. With the Packers, again, the response, the emotional response is real. And I have every right to get that, but I can see and understand the vision behind it. And that's all I'm going to ever ask. All right, let's talk about Josh Jacobs next. And obviously, like I said, we have a ton to go over today. Josh Jacobs, 4 years, $48 million, $12.5 million guaranteed. How this contract is going to work, $5.425 million cap hit in 2024, an $11.235 million cap hit next year that will become a $7.5 million cap hit after they almost assuredly restructure a roster bonus that is set to kick in next year. And then in year three, it will either be a flat out release or a huge restructure at that point. What this really equates to in all likelihood is a 2 year, $23 million deal that is spread over four seasons, meaning that after he's gone, if they do in fact release him after two seasons or do a major restructure, it's going to cost more in the future, but it basically equates to a 2 year, $23 million deal. So 11.5 mil per season that he'll actually play in these next 2 years. But like I said, that 23 mil will actually get split between 24, 25, 26, 27. That's how this deal likely ends up. Or like I said, they get to 2026 and they just do a major restructure and then they kind of go from there. But it 4 years, 48 mil with a 12.5 mil guarantee, but really probably looks more like a 2 year, $23 million deal in all actuality. Now, we went over Josh Jacobs, but I'll just go over this really quick in our running back episode. 5'10", 223 pounds, just turned 26 years old, was a first-round pick in 2019, had a 5.65 relative athletic score. His PFF grade last year was a 65.0, was a 91.6 in 2022, and a 79.5 in 2021. This past year, he had 233 carries, 805 yards, 3.5 yards per carry, 6 touchdowns, 37 catches, 296 yards, 8 yards per reception, no touchdowns, had 3 total fumbles. Now, I went over some Josh Jacobs stats that I went through, but I'll give you a different set of them since I went through the other ones previously. These are from Ian Harditz on Twitter. From 49 eligible running backs in 2023, Josh Jacobs' PFF rushing grade was a 70.1. That graded 40 out of 49th. His explosive run play rate was 3.9%, which was 48 out of 49 running backs. His yards per carry above expected was negative 0.37, which was 41 out of 49 eligible running backs. His yards per carry, 3.5, 44 out of 49. Yards after contact per carry, 2.4, which was 46 out of 49. And missed tackles forced per carry was 0.12, 43rd out of 49. Those numbers, not only not great, pretty freaking brutal, especially if you're going to give him a pretty big contract, and especially if you are going to move over to Aaron Jones. I want to refocus on one of those stats, the yards over expected, which is a next-gen stats statistic. As we mentioned, last year was negative 0.37, which was 41st out of 49 eligible running backs. In 2022, it was plus 0.47, which was 11th out of 48 running backs. The year before that, negative 0.06, 26 out of 52 running backs. The year before that, negative 0.03, which was 37th out of 55 running backs. And then as a rookie, it was plus 0.67, which was 5th out of 48 eligible running backs. And I think one of the first things that people say with Josh Jacobs is, yeah, but teams stacked the box against him in 2023. It was a lot different. We'll get to that. But statistically, when he had his amazing season in 2022, they stacked the box against him, 8 defenders plus, on 20.6% of the plays. In 2023, it was only 21.5%. So it was more, but only by 0.9%. It wasn't a significant increase in defenders in the box in 2023 over 2022 when he tore it up in 22 and did not tear it up at all in 2023. So you can't just use the excuse, well, there are a lot of defenders in the box. There were in 22 as well, and he tore it up that season. Didn't do the same thing in 2023. Now, here's what I watched. I went through and I watched every single Josh Jacobs run from 2023. Yes, I promise you, I watched every single Josh Jacobs run from 2023. Friends, that was some of the worst run blocking I have ever seen in my life. This is not rose-tinted glasses. This is not me cherry-picking plays. This is not me like trying to spin this now that he's a member of the Green Bay Packers. I posted multiple videos of this on X at Andy Herman NFL if you want to go view them. It was like there were five Royce Newmans out there. No disrespect. On every single play. I don't even know, like, it almost is the equivalent of just burn the tape. I don't know. There were so many plays where he would get the handoff and there would be three guys waiting for him, or a guy that's just immediately in his lap. And there would be multiple plays where there's a guy immediately in his lap. He makes that person miss, and then there's three more players waiting for him. There were so many plays where he could not have done anything at all, period, end of story. It was uncanny. I could not believe it. It was vomit-inducing how awful that offensive line was. And frankly, how awful that offense was. You put into the equation a really, really bad run-blocking offensive line with no legitimate quarterback, a awful head coach to start the season in Josh McDaniels, and what you get is a season that you basically have to throw a little bit out the window. What I saw on tape did have a lot to love. His balance is fantastic. His athleticism looks as good as ever. His open field running is great. He ran behind his pads. He was able to run very low to the ground, low center of gravity. His change of direction is great. He's very, very quick on his feet. He's still got good speed. There was no signs of physical decline from Josh Jacobs. I did have some concerns, though. I thought his vision at times was concerning. Sometimes maybe it was a little nitpicky on my end, but there were multiple times, and it's going to be hard just to not compare and contrast Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs, but there were times where I'm like, Aaron Jones gets through that hole, or Aaron Jones finds that hole, and Josh Jacobs did not. So there were times where I thought his vision was lacking, and there was, quite frankly, in large part due to the awful, awful offensive line play, but there was just a lot of meh. You go through and you watch every single run from Josh Jacobs, there's not a ton to get excited about from 2023. And like I say, one more time, that is a huge part due to the awful offense and awful run blocking from the Raiders this past season, and nothing that Jacobs could have done about it. But you also kept waiting for, like, can he make that magic happen? Aaron Jones was the constant, there's crap in front of me, but I can still make magic happen running back. And I just kind of kept waiting for Josh Jacobs to make a little bit more magic, and he didn't. So there's a lot of that, like I said, in large part due to the blocking, some parts due to vision, but from an athletic standpoint, speed, change of direction, power, he had an unbelievable like 60-yard touchdown run where he stiff arms the chief safety into oblivion. There's some really good stuff on tape. There's another play where I forget who was against, but he gets one-on-one with a safety in the middle of the field and just jukes him, thinks he's going to go left, and he goes right. There's some good stuff on tape. There really, really is. But there's also a lot that you just have to kind of like get through and like force down as you're watching it, because the offense and the offensive line were so bad, and it just led to a lot of pedestrian running play. And that's where you get those awful stats and those awful analytics from Josh Jacobs in 2023. The belief, if you're a Packer fan, and certainly if you're Brian Gutekunst, is that that was due to the circumstances surrounding him. And if you get 2022 version of Josh Jacobs, look the heck out, because you are going to be in for an unbelievable ride. In 2022, he was an all-pro, a stud, an absolute game changer. And if you get that, you're in great hands. In 2023, like I said, even though he didn't slow down, overall, it just looked a little bit more pedestrian. Now, he does have a lot of wear and tear in a short period of time. There is risk going from Aaron Jones to Josh Jacobs. There's no question about it. It's personally probably not how it's not how I would have spent the resources, not probably the direction that I would have gone in. But again, I can see the vision and understand the vision, younger, a better built overall back in theory. Like if you were to line up Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs on the fence at recess and you had first pick, you are taking Josh Jacobs. You are 1,000,000% taking Josh Jacobs. It's just no question about it. But in sort of like the theory of everything, it gets a little bit different as you go and actually watch the tape and see, see Aaron Jones play and the magic that he's able to make. And sometimes that was just lacking a little bit with Josh Jacobs in 2023. Again, I'll say one more time. I think there's versions of this that go very, very well and end up beneficial for Green Bay going to Josh Jacobs from Aaron Jones. And he's going to be in a much better position in Green Bay than he was with the Raiders. But this is going to be a risk. Like I said, I have some nervousness and I'm intrigued to see how this Josh Jacobs situation will work out. And if you do get that 2022 version, you are in unbelievable hands moving forward. The last thing on Jones and Jacobs is there was that brief moment where it looked like you were going to get the duo of Jones and Jacobs together. It would have been a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's unfortunate that it couldn't have worked out in some capacity. I don't think that was ever the intention. Per all the reports, it sounds like they had already come to the conclusion that they were not going to move forward with Jones by the time they went to Jacobs. So it wasn't like they got Jacobs and then decided to move on from Jones. It was already predetermined at that point that they were going to go in a different direction. But definitely there was that half hour period where like, man, Jones and Jacobs together, that's going to be amazing. And a little bit bummed that we don't necessarily get to see that either. Guys, we are 39 minutes into this, and we haven't even got to the Packers crown jewel free agent signing yet. And I know there's, like I said, just so much to go over today. I don't know where, like, this is all like insane stuff. This is all super important. But Xavier McKinney, 4 years, $68 million deal. How can you not be so freaking excited about Xavier McKinney becoming the new safety of the Green Bay Packers? This is a beyond perfect fit. Amazing versatility, can play the post safety, can play the box safety, can match up in coverage, is a great tackler. It's everything that you want. I mentioned this on the live show. I mentioned this the other day as well. When I watched Justin Simmons on his tape, really good safety, second team All-Pro last year, it made me appreciate Xavier McKinney even more and what he was able to do in that post safety position and get to spots that Justin Simmons just was no longer able to get to on the field. McKinney, 6'2", 201 safety, 24 years old, will turn 25 in August. Still 24 right now is crazy. Second round pick in 2020, 5.82 RAS coming out of college, had an 87.8 grade this past season, 61.2 the year before that, 75.4 the year before that. 116 tackles, half sack, 3 picks, 11 passes defended, 1 forced fumble, 2 fumble recoveries this past season. In coverage, quarterbacks went 33 of 54, 61.1%. Completion percentage, 288 yards, no touchdowns, 3 interceptions, a 52.1 passer rating, only 7 missed tackles for a 5.7% missed tackle percentage. Played 388 snaps in the box, 464 at free safety, and 167 in the slot per Pro Football Focus. As I mentioned, he has the ability to play in the box and play deep. He is perfect for this system. He has been a team captain, and he played 100% of the snaps in 2023. Also has that connection with Derek Ansley, the Packers passing game coordinator, who recruited him at Alabama. Per Next Gen Stats, Xavier McKinney forced a tight window throw on a league-leading 30.8% of his targets when aligned as a safety last season. And the Packers as a whole forced a tight window on just 12.4% of pass attempts in 2023, third lowest in the NFL. This is a massive upgrade. Per PFF, since entering the league, Xavier McKinney has the number one PFF coverage grade when lined up at free safety, a 92.0 coverage grade at free safety since he entered the league. Not last year, not for 2 years, since he entered the league in 2020. Number one coverage grade when lined up at free safety. He is a post safety that can do a variety of different things, that has every trait that you want. The football intelligence, the IQ, the ability to read quarterbacks, the instincts, the change of direction ability, enough speed to get sideline to sideline, but it's his angles that he takes. It's his tackling ability. It's his ball skills and playmaking ability. It's all of it. It's all there. It's all baked in. If you're going into the lab and building a center field safety in Jeff Hafley's defense, Xavier McKinney comes pretty freaking close to being that almost ideal safety. Maybe a tick quicker on that 40 time, but man, everything else is just about as ideal as it gets. This is a huge signing, a home run, in my opinion, As I mentioned, a perfect fit in Jeff Hafley's defense. This will allow the corners to play the way they want to play. This will allow your box safety to come up and stop the run because you have one of the best center field safeties in all of football roaming that back end. Quarterbacks will have to be aware of them. They're going to be a little bit more nervous throwing to those deep sidelines because they know Xavier McKinney can get there. It changes everything for the defense. It changes everything for Jeff Hafley. A huge, huge signing. A great blend of tackling and coverage. He plays the position the right way. Great tackle on Josh Jacobs on a couple different occasions when watching the Josh Jacobs tape, by the way. This is the best safety they've had since Nick Collins. And I know there were a couple people that asked me prior, would I rather have Xavier McKinney on a huge deal or like a couple really good safeties combined? Give me the Xavier McKinney on the huge deal. I said it pre-signing McKinney. I'll say it right now. That 4-year 68 is legit. That is a big time contract, 17 mil per year. We haven't got the breakdown yet, so we'll see how it breaks down. But this is a significant investment for Brian Gutekunst at that position. It was the right player, the right move at the right time for the right reasons and the right defense. This is a no-brainer. Love every ounce of it. I have nothing bad to say about it. Could not be more excited about it. And this is where we get the wide range of emotions, right? Jones gone. You're not sure how to totally feel about the Jacobs signing, but you get Xavier McKinney, which was an A-plus signing, in my opinion. And then you get David Bakhtiari, who was released. Now, this one, while still heartbreaking and gut-wrenching in some capacity, was also expected. Those ones are a little bit more easy to at least see coming and, you know, easier to digest because we did see them coming. The brutal series of events that went from the torn ACL to where we are now changed everything. You go from him about to play in the 2020 playoffs and then missing all of 21 besides a half game against Detroit in the final game of the regular season, comes back and plays a decent amount of 2022, then has the appendectomy, and then one game in 2023, and then that is his last game as a member of the Green Bay Packers. That injury may have cost Green Bay playoff wins, Super Bowl appearances, Super Bowl wins, who knows? It may have cost David Bakhtiari a gold jacket. It cost Green Bay arguably the best offensive tackle, or at least in the conversation. Trent Williams would certainly have something to say about that, but one of the best offensive linemen in all of football, the best offensive lineman I've ever had the joy of watching, tape of week in and week out. I'm going to miss watching David Bakhtiari. He had a plus 5.95 PFF grade, my grade, a plus 5.95 grade in the 13 games that he played since the injury. He has played 13 games, graded plus 5.95, and he has been nowhere near healthy during that time frame. And he still has been an absolute machine. In those 13 games, he only had two games graded in the negative, and it was a negative 0.45, which is a small negative grade, and a negative 0.15, which is basically a neutral game. 11 positive games, two negatives, plus 5.95 since he got hurt and was nowhere near himself. His final game against Chicago was awesome. He had a great game in that performance and still looked like himself. So it just sucks that much more that he can't, you know, just never could bounce back from it and just stay healthy. And I'm certainly hoping the best for him moving forward. He is not retiring. It does feel like this is probably the end in Green Bay. First, you know, ballot Packers Hall of Famer, no question about that. And this was just a situation where Green Bay had no other choice. There was no trade value here. Nobody's trading for that contract. There's just nothing else they could have done. Absolutely nothing else they could have done. It was the right move at this time. It sucks all the way around, but how I define my overall thoughts on this decision is it was a necessary evil. No more, no less. Wish him the best. Wish it never went down this way, but it had to be done. And there was no other out. This was the only out. They had to do it and they moved on. And ultimately it was the right move to make as much as it sucks. Meanwhile, we're going to kind of go rapid fire through the rest of these. Darnell Savage signs with Jacksonville, 3 years, $21 million, 12.5 mil guaranteed. Good deal for Savage, more than I thought he was going to get, specifically with all the safeties available. It was absolutely the right move to let him walk at that price. Way more than I would have considered bringing him back for. 2020 was his highlight season, looked legitimately good in 2020, has never been the same after that. A lot of that could have been Joe Barry's defense and maybe, you know, kind of playing back in a different style. Maybe he sort of refines what he saw or what we saw to him in 2020, but I don't think you pay to see if that's the case. Far too many inconsistencies from Savage. Just never has been a fit the last few seasons. never was the playmaker, never was the consistent tackler, never was any of it. And it was the time to move on. They did. We'll see what he does in Jacksonville. He had a negative 1.75 grade for me this past season. And the difference between a Darnell Savage and a Xavier McKinney, they're on different stratospheres as players, in my opinion. And this should ultimately be a huge upgrade for Green Bay. Meanwhile, John Runyon Jr. signs with the Giants, 3 years, $30 million, $17 million guaranteed. Another move that it was right to let him walk. You don't want to necessarily be involved at that number when you do have a guy like Sean Ryan on the roster right now that already split time. He was not the full-time starter last year. If you could have got him back on a cheap deal, absolutely, you do it, especially the way the offensive guard market exploded. But that was not the case. He gets $10 million a year, $17 million guaranteed. You can't match that at this point. It was right to let him walk. His 2023 grade for me was a negative 4.95. However, he did have a plus 1.50 grade in his final six games, had a plus 3.65 grade in 2021. We saw some really good John Runyon Jr. over the years. We saw some not great John Runyon Jr. in 2022 and at the first two-thirds of 2023. We'll see what he does in New York. A great deal for him. Guard market, like I said, has been crazy. I don't think Green Bay was ever close to anything that the Giants were offering him. Packers do have some depth issues now on the offensive line, very much so that they're going to have to address. And the way the guard market did explode, and if John Runyon Jr. is getting $10 million per year, I thought Royce Newman getting released at about a $3.1 million deal was a no-brainer. I don't even know if that's the case anymore. They might just have to keep him around because these guard contracts are getting insane. I just don't think he's an NFL player, so I still think Green Bay should move on. But the guard market is crazy enough where I don't know that that's a no-brainer anymore, even if it probably would be for me. Tyler Davis back in Green Bay. Oddly, this felt like the most obvious re-sign to me on anyone on the team. No contract terms yet, but I'm expecting it to be at or near the vet minimum. Why is he still on the team? Everyone asked. He's terrible. He sucks. Torn ACL, whatever. First of all, he was looking really good in camp last year prior to the ACL injury. He looked like he was going to legitimately have a job. He played the most special team snaps of any Packer in 2022. He is a core special teamer. Bisaccia loves him. LaFleur loves him. And here's the thing. This is probably, like I said, a vet minimum deal where he's going to come back in camp and he's going to have to earn his spot. This is probably not anything where he's getting a ton of guarantees and you let him go and compete in camp. And if he earns a number four tight end spot, or if you have injuries at tight end and he can fill in, great. If he doesn't bounce back from the ACL and doesn't look like he can help on special teams and offense, you probably just move on. There's no risk, you know, some reward. Core special teamer, makes all the sense in the world. Like I said, was actually like number one on my list of like most likely own free agents that they'd bring back. And sure enough, before free agency started, he was the only one that actually got brought back at this point and still is the only one at this point. But he'll have to make the team in camp, but I do kind of sneakily like him as a number four tight end in Green Bay. Meanwhile, Rayshon Jenkins was expected to visit in Green Bay. As far as I've seen, that is still expected to happen. I don't know if the Xavier McKinney signing changes that at all. He would be the box safety in Green Bay next to McKinney's post safety if that were the case. Did not like Rayshon Jenkins' tape when he was the post safety. Liked it a bit more when he was the box safety. Don't know if it's a perfect ideal signing, but if it's a cheap contract as a, you know, potential box safety that maybe he has to compete with a rookie, I could understand it. I'd be for it. Wouldn't be against it. But I think they could probably do better with some of the other safeties on the market, but I certainly understand at least bringing them in and having them for a visit and seeing if there's maybe some mutual interest between the two parties. Meanwhile, Keyshawn Nixon, Tom Silverstein reporting that they still want him back and he's their priority to re-sign at this point. We'll see if they get a contract done sooner rather than later. AJ Dillon, also per Tom Silverstein, still not expected back. They've had a couple of reports out that Green Bay is going to move in a different direction, and that makes even more sense with the Josh Jacobs signing. By the way, remaining Ted Thompson Green Bay Packers after today, after Bakhtiari is released, after Aaron Jones is released, Kenny Clark, the only remaining Ted Thompson Green Bay Packer. The Vikings, meanwhile, Kirk Cousins is gone. He is a member of the Atlanta Falcons. Sam Darnold is in. 1 year, $10 million contract for Sam Darnold. You have to think they're going to be ultra aggressive getting a quarterback in the draft. They also signed Jonathan Greenard and Andrew Van Ginkle at edge and Blake Cashman at off-ball linebacker. They lost Marcus Davenport and Jordan Hicks. And they are in, of course, on those Aaron Jones conversations and were in on Tony Pollard. So they are looking for a back in that realm, in that ilk. And Aaron Jones would be very much in that realm. Bears signed DeAndre Swift, 3 years, $24 million deal. They lose Justin Jones to the Cardinals, and they are running out of Justin Fields' trade options. There are not any teams really left at this point that need any sort of quarterback. Probably going to have to be a backup. They're probably not going to get much for him. Do they just keep him? I don't know, but that's going to be an interesting one to keep an eye on. We sort of talked about Jeff Okuda. Maybe he would be an option for Green Bay. He played with Jeff Hafley in Ohio State and had, you know, it was awesome and became, the, I think, the third overall pick out of that draft. Maybe Green Bay would have interest. I don't know if they did or not, but he signed with the Texans and will not be a member of the Green Bay Packers. Some remaining potential free agent options. I do think Green Bay does still have some money to spend if they want to. At safety, Cameron Curl, Jordan Fuller, Julian Blackman, and Jeremy Chin to potentially team with Xavier McKinney. Jerome Baker, Bobby Wagner, Tyrell Dodson at off-ball linebacker. They could still use some upgrades there. Like I said, I do think they could still be a little active, but probably looking a little bit more on the bargain bin side at this point after the big signings of Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. Final thoughts. A roller coaster of emotions. Going to legitimately miss Aaron Jones. That's my biggest takeaway, honestly, is I'm going to miss Aaron Jones a lot. I'm bummed, but I'm excited to see what happens with Josh Jacobs. Legit also bummed that it never worked out with Bakhtiari and he was never able to get back to himself. That also sucks, but extremely excited and interested to see what Josh Jacobs is going to become in Green Bay in a totally better situation than he was with the Raiders last year. And that could pay huge dividends for the Packers. Beyond thrilled that Xavier McKinney is a member of the Green Bay Packers. Right decisions to let John Runyon Jr. and Darnell Savage walk. Interested to see what the Packers are going to do in the remainder of free agency, if they do remain active, or if it's basically just their 11 picks in the draft and top or five in the top 100. Expect a couple, maybe free agent signings, Keyshawn Nixon, maybe somebody that they still bring back. But yeah, and then of course the big thing, just really do not want Aaron Jones to become a member of the Minnesota Vikings. Could you not just once, Minnesota, just once, not to, it's never worked out for you in the past. It's never worked out for you. Stop signing Packers. Stop. Don't. Stop it. Knock it off. Nobody likes you. Knock it off. Don't sign Aaron Jones. For Aaron Jones' sake, I hope he gets the best contract he can possibly get. He deserves it. He earned it. But maybe just not the Minnesota Vikings. Let's do it all again tomorrow. What the heck? Who knows? Who knows what's going to happen on Tuesday? It's a whole new day. It's going to be epic. And we have so much to discuss. We have so much to break down. I'm going to be watching so much tape. Who knows? Maybe we'll do some random live shows again on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I don't know. I'm exhausted. It is now 3:18 in the morning. I'm going to end this. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mo Sayed, Minnesota, and PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Broaddad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, and David Prendergast. You guys are the best. I will see you tomorrow. Enjoy day two of free agency. But until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.